This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be there.
That thing where people aren't sure what day it is that still happening?
It's not as much for me anymore.
I think we've all sort of gotten used to it. Even if you are working from home, you've been, like I've been for more than a year now working from home, you're sort of used to the rhythm of the week. I don't know, maybe that's garbage day. I don't know, maybe that's sandwich day or Taco Tuesday or something in your house, if you play those sorts of things with your dinner planning. We don't really do that, but you know, it's pretty common. Some people do. But like garbage day is a good one for me. Like it, Wednesday, sometime Wednesday, because Thursday morning pretty early they come. So at some point on Wednesday, garbage goes out to the curb. Like, okay, it's Wednesday. Tomorrow's Thursday, and these are reminders of what day it is. I only say that because, of course, Joe, just as he does every Wednesday, plays the hump day open, and I'm sort of wishing today was Friday. Not because I want the week to be over, but I mean, come on, who's kidding who? I wish every day was Friday. I wish I had 2 days off. I wish we all had 2 days off after today. But it feels, I'm thinking of a Friday subject as I'm getting started here and was sort of gearing up. It's National Beer Day, and I know, you know, we don't always pay a lot of attention to the national whatever day it is, because I think it's as many as like a dozen different things a day, and you know, there's different kinds of beer days, but today's just flat out National Beer Day. And I saw Andrew Peters this morning asked, because it's National Beer Day, who's the most famous person you've ever had a beer with? And I love those sorts of stories. And those sorts of stories and, like, just thinking about beer in general makes it feel like a Friday. And it's sunny and 72 degrees in April. So it's, you know, there's a lot of things coming together that are sort of making it feel like a Friday to me, which is a long way to go to say I'm taking the license to, like, have a Friday-esque conversation on Hump Day Wednesday, because I'm going to want to hear some beer stories from people, like just whatever you've got, like famous people you had a beer with or, like, whatever. Just it. I don't know, you know, when we're going to fully come out of this thing. More and more people are getting vaccinated all the time, and that's great. I just got an appointment for my 17-year-old son in Corning, but whatever. I justified it easily with, well, I mean, it's the first available shot. Saturday late afternoon, evening, we're gonna do that. And I thought, like, well, Corning, whatever. I'm used to driving all over the Northeast for hockey, and even, like, back and forth to, like, Syracuse for hockey trips. So fine, you know, no big deal. I'll go to Corning. So, you know, that said, I don't know when we'll all be congregating again, but I have a feeling that it has been maybe a long time for many of us, maybe most of us, since we've shared beers with friends and family, let alone with famous strangers. I mean, it's just not been a very common occurrence. You know, I've had the odd porch beer with friends. I went over to Mike's with Sneaky Joe and Jeremy back last summer once, and we sat on a patio safely, socially distanced and all that. But, like, I think I can count on one hand the number of, like, social gatherings I've had in that way in a year. And, you know, I'm a social kind of guy. I like to do that sort of thing. So I feel like all of that put together has me thinking about, like hearing stories from you, and I do it, you know, not selfishly, just because I just want to hear your stories. I think that this audience will like hearing your stories, because I think in a way, whether you have forgotten about it or not, we're all missing that. You know, we just have not been able to do it. So, we'll get to that. I'm leading off explaining that, but we'll hold off for a few minutes. You know, maybe even by the time this segment's over, I'll be asking you to call in and tell me about it. But I do want to get in on the Sabres. We'll have, you know, plenty of the usual stuff here. Sal Capaccio will be on with us at 4 o'clock today to tell us about his most recent posting. I'm assuming he's told you something about the lineman the Bills signed today too, but yesterday he wrote a big long piece about the Bills at 30 and the options, right? Trade up, trade down, stay put, all that sort of stuff. And we'll get into that with Sal at 4 o'clock. And I've been sitting on something else I've wanted to talk to Sal about for a couple of days. So we'll have time to do that as well. Did I mention I wanted to talk about the Sabres? We will do some of that with Brian Koziel at 5 o'clock. He is, of course, our pre and post and intermission host on the Sabres Radio Network here on WGR. And he is also going to be on with me to set up our first majors bet of the season. The Masters begins tomorrow. And if you don't know, Brian, Mike, and myself, for quite a few years now, I think it's 7 or 8 years, have been betting on the golf majors. We take turns choosing 7 golfers for the Masters. It's 10 for the other 3 majors. A smaller field, the Masters, so we cut it down to 7. And so it's my turn to pick. I'll pick 7 golfers, and then Mike and Brian will have the field. And that's how you determine who wins the bet. And Brian, of course, will talk about the Sabres and the current state of things coming off. Can I say it this way? Another win last night.
Another win? Right?
Another win. It's a 5-game point streak. They're 3-0-2. I'm cautious about just letting these numbers and the standings and the sort of flow, because it's a little foreign. We were counting losses for a month or more. So 3-0-2 in their last 5, a 5-3 win last night. And like they could have lost that game. And I think Joe and I would be like-minded in this, in that we would want to spend a hearty allotment of today talking about Rasmus Dahlin, because I feel sort of re-energized about Rasmus Dahlin. I mean, I don't think I was talking about him nor thinking that he's a bust and he's just going to be like someone who's not going to play for a long time in the league. But I had stopped seeing any real signs of him being a top-tier defenseman in the league. And I think over the course of the last, I don't know, handful of games, I think you're starting to see that. And last night might have been like the game where you saw like the talent, the skill, the confidence, and the finish all there from him in a way that I just, again, I think you've seen it in flashes here and there, but mostly it's been a struggle, I would say, this year. And it's been feeling to me very much, and I don't, you know, it's not to be the majority opinion, he's still a very young guy, but it's been feeling to me for most of the year like he is being left in the dust by super skilled, talented, fast skating, puck moving defensemen all over the league. And it felt like Dahlin to me was not, he couldn't, his transmission wasn't shifting to top gear ever. It was just sort of stuck in like third or fourth gear. And like, you know, come on, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be the skater that some of the other guys, like Cale Makar, for example, is like an elite level speed and edgework skater. Dahlin is a great edgework technical skater, but he doesn't have that high end, but still, I think you saw what he can do last night, and it was super impressive. I mean, the plays he made on really both of the goals. The second one, you know, he scored one of the goals. The other one was an assist to Casey Mittelstadt. Maybe it's a little fortunate that that puck doesn't get past him at the blue line to begin with, but whatever, you know, puck luck, it went his way, and then he made a dynamite play to set Mittelstadt up for what turned out to be the game winner. But the goal he scored was a thing of beauty as well. Speed, agility, power, technique, it, like all of it was, it checked a bunch of boxes for me. And man, Joe, that's been in short supply for him. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm overstating what I have seen as his struggles, but I mean, I just see guys who's the new Anaheim guy? Is it Drysdale?
Drysdale,
he like shows up and is like circling the zone and then pounding home slap shots from 50 feet out and like, oh my God, like what? I thought I had a guy that was going to do that. And like, instead he's just smashing sticks over crossbars after getting beat on breakaways all year. Like, what is happening to Rasmus Dahlin? Last night was like the wrapping coming off a gift that, you know, it's a regift, I guess, because we've had the gift for 3 years, but it has not been, it's been broken. It needed batteries. It needed charging, whatever. Man, he looked dynamite last night, Joe.
And I've been thinking of them almost as, like, I've been describing them as wow plays, because you've been able to look at Dahlin's numbers. You don't have to look much further than even the point production for teenage defensemen in NHL history. It's like, okay, this guy's good. Like, he's not a superstar right now. He's not a Norris winner, but I think we can say he's good, especially the first 2 years. This year, maybe that was more in flux, especially earlier in the season. But where were those wow plays that made you think, okay, there is a superstar in there somewhere? And even though it's not coming to fruition right now, you're seeing certain plays that make you think that that's coming. I actually thought about Josh Allen when I was watching him last night. Like, Allen in his rookie year, pretty darn inconsistent, but you had a couple of wow plays, like that jumping over Anthony Barr and throwing
pass against Jacksonville.
Yeah, five guys converging on you, and you throw a bomb to Robert Foster over the top. Like, you, like, all right, this guy, if he puts all it together, getting plays like that from him, this could be a superstar player. And Dahlin, to me, has never had plays like that in his first 3 years in the league. And I think last night we got two of them. Like, you make a good point. The assist, I think he definitely gets lucky that the Devils player doesn't chip it to his right and past him, and then he's off and running. But once he's got the puck and then he makes that forward miss and has the vision to see Mittelstadt open and to be able to put it right on the tape so that it's just an easy shovel in for Mittelstadt. And then the goal, too, is just all around great. So I think looking for wow plays from him for 3 years, I'm not sure he gave you his best two he's ever had in one night.
Yeah, it was dynamite. And the goal, like, this might, we you and I might, you know, fall into the tall grass, golf this week. We might get into the there's no heather, I don't think, at Augusta. That's more of a British Open thing. But I might drag you into the heather a little bit in talking about the subtlety on the release, even on the goal. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and that is where the confidence, I think, is maybe most evidenced. Because of course it takes confidence to try to beat the guy one-on-one out at the blue line or just inside the blue line, right? He takes the step, he does it, he gets around the guy. He sticks the leg out to really guard against the guy's stick being able to get to the puck. Savvy, smart, good. And like, he does everything right to get in the spot. But the final piece of the goal is not just get it on net. You know, like, it's subtle, but there's a little launch angle change. It's the kind of thing that happens to me as a hockey viewer through the eyes of my son, because he's a goalie and he, you know, he's always aware of that. Like, if you're a goalie, you're watching that. You know the guy's coming, you know he's got a chance to shoot, and you got to be paying attention to what he's doing with his hands, and the angle his stick blade is at, it's crazy. But Dahlin has the confidence in that moment to just do, make one little adjustment and just change the launch angle, and that's something like the best shooters in the game. Auston Matthews does it. I don't know how often he shoots the puck without doing it, frankly.
Like, I was maybe say, on I feel one like every shot I've ever seen him take, he does it.
Like, cross-ice passes for one-timers, he doesn't, of course. But if he's carrying the puck and is going to shoot it, he will just pull a little closer to his body at the last instant, or just do something to throw the goalie off. And Dahlin did that in traffic, in the slot last night, and just beautiful. I just couldn't have loved it more. So good for him, good for us, right? This is why, like, I keep watching the games. Because, you know, hell or high water, right? I'm going to be there, right? I've been saying it for weeks here. They're going to have a team next year, right? I know we want to just, you know, just wrecking ball the entire organization because of how just brutal this year has been. But there are talented players there still. It's been a totally messed up year, and we'll see how far I want to get on just putting the year off to the side and objectively sort of picking through the roster. Like, I don't know how much of an appetite there is for fans to listen to that and participate in that. But I'm going to be there watching, because I'll get things like last night out of Dahlin, and yeah, sure, I could just leaf through Twitter and see the highlights. But I like putting the time in, and I'm not looking for any kind of reward for that. I do it. I like to do it, and I've always done it. And, you know, when you get paid off, you get some, you know, again, win or lose. I think you and I would be talking about Dahlin from last night, even if Jersey had come back and tied the game with the goalie pulled and the Sabres end up losing the game. The story of the game would still be Dahlin, and maybe to an extent Mittelstadt too, because the play he made on their first goal was equally delicious to what Dahlin did last night. So there were a couple of real bright spots last night, and so, you know, you hang in there, and you get, you know, again, how much of a payoff is it? I don't know. You're gonna have to put some games together here for these guys I'm talking about, Dahlin specifically, to get me really, really excited. I know I already sound excited, but I recognize it was, you know, it's one game and it's been maybe a handful of games. And, you know, it's very easy, I think, to just sort of still criticize Ralph Krueger, even though he's now been gone for a few weeks, because Dahlin is a player. And there are others. I think Mittelstadt qualifies for this, but Dahlin is at the front of the class of someone who looks like he has been just, he's broken free. He's been let out of jail and is being free to go play the way that he can play. You know, going deep into the zone and not worrying about you know, what the repercussions are if that doesn't go well. You got to go do it. Like, you've got the talent and the skill. The team needs you to do it. You know, this sort of all circles back to how Granato sounded on our morning show yesterday talking about Dahlin. Like, you know, there's a lot there, and so you gotta keep tapping into that and giving him the confidence to use what he has, because him unleashed and playing at his full capacity, I think that's the word that Granato used specifically, it can really help this team a lot more than, you know, anyone on it with the exception of Jack Eichel. And, you know, Jack Eichel back healthy and playing like he can play, I think we already know what that looks like and what that can mean. Dahlin, as we've already talked about, has been sort of, we've seen potential, but I don't feel like we've watched it all bloom. And last night, it felt like we were watching something bloom. Again, you know, it's a back half of the season win in New Jersey. So
yeah,
while you're in last place, so you know you got to temper it somewhat. I know that, but I was enthralled with how he looked last night.
Does his night last night and like the combination of even like the comments here in the station, like two days ago, you asked me about the idea of Granato becoming the permanent head coach. And 2 days ago, this might sound crazy, but I think 48 hours ago, I was almost not even thinking about it at all. And now, I'm not saying it's my favorite idea or anything, but it seems like a better idea than it did on Monday.
Yep. Well, the good thing is I don't expect them at this point to hire someone this season to replace him.
Right.
So we don't have to make a call on that yet. I think it is, you know, I brought it up to you a couple days ago because I was starting to see it and hear it, and I think I said, like, whoa, they've won 2 out of 7 games here. You know, like,
right.
So under Tom Granato. To be fair, one of those games he wasn't even behind the bench for because he had to sit out that game in Pittsburgh and Kevin Adams coached. But whatever. Their record at the time was 2-5-2, I think. So they'd won 2 out of 9 games that he'd been, you know, the interim coach. But we're gonna get another, how many games they have left, Joe? I don't even they've got games left. They're playing into May. So we'll get more data, you know, a bigger sample size, and maybe as they go, if they continue to play well when the competition gets tougher, because again, it's the Rangers and the Devils and the Flyers where they broke the streak, and the Flyers were skidding at the time. So that has to temper it maybe a little, but they're undeniably a better-looking team, and that is evidenced by a couple of players that we've highlighted here, specifically Dahlin and Mittelstadt. I haven't talked about him a lot here, but he's looked promising. I think the game they lost in Boston before the losing streak ended, I was watching and even said, like, am I crazy at one point on Twitter? Am I nuts or can he play? He looks like he can play. Like, he looks like a different hockey player to me this year. Like, the skill, the hands are still there, but I don't know if he's just stronger from a, you know, just literal body, you know, if he's just put on muscle, but he just looks quicker and more confident and just looks like a better hockey player. And he's still a very young guy. And, you know, maybe we prematurely sort of crossed him off the list, but I'm intrigued by the potential he's starting to show too at this point.
Yeah, he would add into this as well. And for me personally, because I was so team, let's finally get Sam Reinhart at center. Like the last couple of games with the last couple weeks with Granato as the coach, and just looking at Dahlin's progress since Kruger's gone, and looking at Mittelstadt was already playing well though this season. So I'm not sure I want to put that all on Don Granato, because I thought even from the get go this year he looked like a better player. But his comeback season this year, Reinhart, as I mentioned, like I'm when I'm thinking about the Sabres, it's in a more positive light with Don Granato behind the bench. It's not maybe all because of him, but like last night, I'm sitting there thinking, like, they could have Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhart, Dylan Cousins, Casey Mittelstadt as their center group next season, and like that made me kind of hopeful. Doesn't have to work. It's not even anybody new, but that made me kind of hopeful. So again, I'm not all the way in on Don Granato should be their head coach permanently, but what he's kind of helped influence in the last couple of weeks for me, and I'm sure for a lot of fans, is just thinking about something in a positive light with them.
Yeah. Well, it'll be very interesting to see if we get the opportunity to see them healthy again. That means Eichel, which I don't know how likely that is at all. I'm generally kind of pessimistic with what I've heard about his potential return this year. Cousins, you know, if we get them all back, does Reinhart stay at center is really all I need to say.
Right.
Because, you know, those four guys, like, you say that, and I think, like, that sounds great. But who's my checking line center? You know, like,
yeah.
Don't I still need one of those? So, I don't know. We'll see what they end up doing. But, you know, either way, they are – if they believe in Reinhart, which it remains to be seen, that's a nice card to have, and it's another thing, Joe, that we can put on the list of things that they were unwilling to try until
injuries.
Until they had no choice, it was desperation time. Like, well, somebody's got to play center. Ah, well, I guess he played some in the Western Hockey League. Okay, we'll try that. You know, that's the Jacob Bryson and Will Borgen and whatever. So we'll see what form that takes. But pretty cool night, and there haven't been a lot of those this year. So before I got, like, knee deep in beer stories, which I'm still hoping to do at some point here, I wanted to spend some time talking about, Darlene specifically, and what you can hope is like the beginning of a breakthrough, if not already being a breakthrough. 803-0550 is the number. It is National Beer Day, and I teed you up here at the beginning and then started talking about Rasmus Darlene. So we'll get to we'll get to beer. Do I need to say any more than that? Let's just talk about,
beer.
Let's just talk about beer. We're going to talk about beer in sports. I mean, this almost sounds like a hackneyed, cliched radio show meeting now that I'm hearing myself say that. As I think like 20 years ago, I might have said, we should talk about beer in sports. Anyway. That's the deal. Sal's at 4, Brian Colziel at 5, Sneaky Joe DiBiase is in our Amherst studios. I am the Bulldog, Mike Schopp is on vacation, and this is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
He keeps improving, if you consider that being different, but it's been a progression for Casey as many others, and he's engaged in that, trying to add more to his game, look for more opportunity, seek more opportunity, and his confidence is clearly growing as well.
That is Sabres interim coach Don Granato talking about one of the players that we mentioned in the first segment of the show. I think we only mentioned a couple of players by name. Mostly it was Rasmus Dahlin, but Casey Mittelstadt had himself a night as well. A beautiful, beautiful assist for the first goal the Sabres scored in a 5-3 win at New Jersey last night. And then he got the game winner, was the beneficiary of a great play by Rasmus Dahlin to set him up. All he had to really do was keep his stick on the ice and let it pop past the goalie. But Mittelstadt is another guy who is sort of starting to show some life. And, I don't blame you if, you don't have this job, so maybe you don't have to think and talk as much about the Sabres, and maybe you're checked out, and I understand. Maybe you're still paying attention and watching the games or just sort of reading about them and finding out what happened afterward, because you're just, it's you're checked out. That's it. I get that. Or maybe you're just still listening to the show because you like us and you're driving around and you don't really, it's just a habit. But either way, if you're hearing me right now and going, dude, what are you talking about? It's 3, 4, 5 games against New Jersey and the Rangers and whatever. Like, I know. All right. I'm not telling you that this team is dug out of the mess that they have made of themselves. They still have major organizational structural problems that need to be fixed in the form of, hockey people to help make the hockey decisions. I don't trust a lot of what is in place there. I think Kevin Adams needs some help. I like Kevin Adams personally, and I don't think like much of what he's done this year, while it hasn't worked, and he probably sat on the coach for too long. When I say they have major structural problems, it's not a criticism of him as much as it is a criticism of the spot he's been left in. So just so that's clear, I don't want to like make the mistake of sounding like I think that everything's going great, because it's not that. It's just, if you're a fan of this team and you still hang with them and therefore hang with us, I think a lot of us felt energized and excited by, again, the individual performances. The result of the game, I don't really care that much right now. The wins and losses. It's nice that they played well enough to win. Really, they got their goals is why they were able to win. I think they only had 17 shots on goal. They buried some chances, and some very talented guys made very skillful plays, Dahlin and Mittelstadt among them. So it's not like I don't want to overdo it. I'm a little self-conscious here about it, but in a year where there hasn't been anything really shiny to look at, Dahlin's progress is a big part of that. I'm speaking to a certain kind of fan tonight, today, that is not just worn out and dead inside. Because I understand if you are. Like, I'm not telling you to change your mind just by hearing my voice, but I am telling you that I have felt that way for large parts of this year, and I still am really deeply concerned about the way forward for them from a hockey department organizational standpoint. But on the ice, I like what I am seeing from Dahlin. I like what I'm seeing from Mittelstadt. You might have room to can I interest you in a Tage Thompson conversation? Like, I think he's another guy that is getting more time and is, I think, starting to show maybe what he's capable of. I don't know where it all ends for him. He's not, to me, in the group of, Dahlin is on a tier. Mittelstadt is exciting, I think, and potentially could be a really nice, like, recovery for them. Thompson is like, I don't know, but it's better than it was, certainly with him at this point too. If you got anything on the Sabres and the current state of things, I welcome your calls, of course, at 803-0550. Lines are open for you. We opened up, before we got into talking about the Sabres. I mean, they do have the trade deadline, by the way, coming on Monday. Taylor Hall has not been traded yet, but he did not play last night, and so we're sort of waiting on that at some point. It is National Beer Day, and I did, before I got started talking, about the Sabres last night, I did say I was going to be interested. It's a beautiful day, and it has been a long time for a lot of us, I think, since we've had the camaraderie that comes with, enjoying beers with friends, beers with family, whatever. One way that we can sort of talk about how much we love beer is to have you tell me your famous stories of having a beer with famous people. That's certainly something that's there that I hope to sort of run a thread through the entire afternoon. So that's available for us to talk about too. I'll be sharing what I've got in that department. I think Sal's got a story. I imagine Sneaky Joe's got something, although you're pretty young, so I'm not sure if you've had the opportunity to have one.
I'm kind of involved. I'm not there, but you'll find out if you want it.
Okay, all right, good to know. So like there's that. I mean, beer's delicious, right? We love beer. I know not everyone does. Some people don't drink by choice, and some people like to drink other things. But I mean, beer is just, today is made for beer. It's National Beer Day. Bring me all the IPAs, bring me all the stouts, bring me all the porters, bring me all the ruby red Kolsches. That's like almost a specific brand, I guess, isn't it? I suppose I'm trying not to like pump any one brand up, you know, at the risk of offending anyone. But that beer is like summer in a can, I think. Like, right? I like bigger. I like the IPAs and the stouts with the high alcohol content. But man, that Ruby Red Kolsch is, that is summertime in a can. When that shows up in the store, there is a 12 pack of that in the fridge. Almost all year long. My wife loves it. Friends who come over, in normal times, who aren't into the big IPAs and the stouts and all the other craft beers, they like that. It's like a universal beer. It joins the craft beer snob in me with my friends who aren't craft beer snobs. So in that way, it totally works. 803-0550. 888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Let's fire it up and see what we get. Tim is up first this segment. Hi, Tim. Thanks for calling. You are on WGR.
Hey, I'm following up on your comment before. You said you were talking probably to a specific type of fan today. I'm that fan. I'm a Sabres fan going back to the old Buffalo Bisons days, of course. I moved out of town about 25 years ago on business. Always picked up on the games through the internet and that sort of thing. But now that we've been back in town for about the past 2 years, we were all about moving back for, of course, the food, the cuisine, the art scene, but importantly, the sports scene. So we're that type of Sabres fan. Mm-hmm. Been a Dahlin fan from when he was drafted. Mittelstadt, not last year, I think it was the year before. The two kids and I, we went to Rochester so that we could see him play. And I've got just this solid perspective that you're really touching on today about why the Sabres are always watchable. First of all, it's an NHL team, and they're either your home team or they're not. We can be amongst ourselves. We can talk them down. We can talk about them. But in the end, what we're looking for, like you're saying, is not the W's, but we're looking for something to be able to build on and to be able to talk like this and say, here's the nuance. Here's the Dahlin doing what we want him to do. Here's the Mittelstadt. But I'm also going to talk about the forecheck, too, the quickness that I'm seeing since Granato's come on board. The ability to be able to push back in the offensive zone, it seems like there's a challenge to be the first one to the puck now that we hadn't seen for a while. I'm just ticking down this list of positive hockey things that as a regular watcher, and frankly, I got to admit, there are times that I've tuned out and had them on, callback button every once in a while. But yep. We're definitely fans, and we're definitely appreciating the fact that we're able to talk about the positives. We're not wallowing in the Jack Eichel trade rumors. You knew Hall was going to go, but he had a victim of circumstances. And and the other thing I wanted to just mention in general is I was listening to the radio, just a quick anecdote. I was listening to the radio in the car. I had to stop off at the store. So I pull into, and if you don't mind me saying it, it's the Federal Meat Market over at Williamsville Place off of Sheridan Drive. They uh-huh. had the radio on in there. So I'm at the checkout counter, and all of a sudden there's three or four of us standing around, and the Sabres come up. And we just started talking about almost exactly, again, the same things you're talking about today, just this random Buffalo sentiment about why the Sabres are meaningful and why they're relevant. And again, why we're, of course, the best coaches in the world, because we know everything. We're also the best general managers in the world because we know everything.
But we're undefeated, Tim.
Yeah, but that's just the nature of what's going on behind the scenes. My daughter has just embraced the Sabres since we've been back. And thick and thin, the nuance that she's able to come up with in talking about the Dahlins, or what has Stahl contributed or not contributed? Why is Johansson a good option or not a good option in the lineup? And playing off the Twitter feeds and all that. Anyway, that's just a
good
stream of consciousness here from what we're doing. But the Sabres are relevant and meaningful. Granato, in his tenure, seems to have done some things, whether it's that conditioning that they talked about, whether it's just a different way of playing. And you used the term, I think, unleashed a little bit earlier. Unleashed people to just be creative and just make sure you're in position.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tim. It should be said that it is a lot easier for guys to do that and for a coach to do that when, again, I know Don Granato and the players, they want to win, but they're really, they should be able to be unleashed. They should be able to play free because they're really, you know, there's the pressure of being in the league and individually demonstrating that you belong here, that you deserve your next contract, that, you know, whatever is entailed in that, the personal pride and all that. But as far as feeling any pressure about performance because of the standings and any kind of a race, I mean, they are totally free of all that, and that should be pointed out. It's easier to play that way when you're not in, at least I think it is, when you're not in the depths of, like, we got to get these points. You know, we're trying to make up ground. I mean, I'm sure they're not striving to finish last, and again, I know they each, as individuals, want to win, but I think there's also got to be a reality and an awareness that they're not really getting anywhere, regardless of what the outcomes of these games are. And in a certain way, I think that can free you up. And maybe it is. Thanks a lot again for the call, Tim. We'll take your calls on the Sabres. We'll take your calls on beer, too. I promise we will get those in here at 803-0550. Mike Shope is on vacation. I am the Bulldog, and along with Sneaky Joe, this is WGR.
Bouncing, I was lucky. I grabbed it and I saw Mitty's stick there in front of the net, so I was just shooting at his blade.
That is Rasmus Dahlin talking about the play he made to set up Casey Mittelstadt's game-winning goal last night in New Jersey. Sabres had a light skate today, an optional practice. They will host the Devils tomorrow night at KeyBank Center, and then on Friday host the Washington Capitals. Good to have you along on a beautiful, sunny April Wednesday. I am the Bulldog. Mike Shope is away this week. Sneaky Joe DiBiase hanging out with us as well. 803-0550. We're kicking around the Sabres and Dahlin's big night and Mittelstadt's big night, and also talking about National Beer Day and encouraging you to call us and tell us any stories you've got about beers with famous people. And with that in mind, we'll go to the phones. Bill is up first this segment. Hi, Bill. Thanks for calling. You are on WGR.
Good afternoon, Bulldog. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, man.
Bulldog, I was trying to remember when it was, and I think I had rotator cuff surgery, and we went down to the Cayman Islands, and we were on the beach with this guy every day. He's a bald-headed guy, and I said something to him about he and I should have a hat on, and it turned out it was Craig Patrick. And I thought to myself then, boy, this guy should be the coach or the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres. And a short time after that, what was it? He became an advisor to the Sabres.
Right. He was here. He came in with Pat LaFontaine, I think, if I remember correctly. Good deal.
It transpired that he came working for the Sabres, but we still find ourselves struggling at the bottom.
Yep. For sure. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. But when he started in there with the bald-headed guy, I thought it was going to end in a Sal Capaccio story. The low-hanging fruit there was a Howard Simon story, but, you know, that didn't need to be said. All right, from Bill to Bell. Bell up next on WGR. Hi, Bell. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to relate that one time I got to have a beer with Chef Robert Irvine in D.C. He annually does a dinner with the military chefs for families, survivors in the military.
All right.
Family. And he works in with the chefs to provide us a wonderful meal. And I met him the night before, and then I was at the airport, and who sits down next to me but him and his wife?
Nice.
Said, what do you suggest? I said, well, I'm having a Sam Adams lager. This sounds good to me. And I said,
so you got airport beers with somebody who you admire. That's awesome.
I mean, do you know who I'm talking about? He owns the Gold's Gym. He's very.
I'm not familiar, but we could Google if I had more time, but I'm afraid I don't.
I do. Celebrity chef. I've watched a little, maybe too much Food Network, I guess, to know who that is.
well, good. I'm glad that Joe knows, Belle. So did you serve in the military, or did you someone in your family?
Beg your pardon?
Did you sir-
my
did
only
you sir-
son was killed.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
It's been a while, but him and Gary Sinise work with us.
It's a
program. I normally go to D.C. every year.
Wonderful.
And
thank you for sharing that story, Belle.
Yeah, but I wanted to say something about the Sabres.
Oh, good. Go right ahead.
I agree with you. I think that it's been such a negative year and so discouraging that these last couple of games are really a lot of fun. And I find it amazing that we don't have the higher paid players, other than Skinner, playing. And Granato is bringing the best out of these younger players. And in looking in his history, that's what he's done well at. So it doesn't recover the whole season, but it does lift our spirits and, you know, makes you feel good for the future. I hope he stays around at least, you know. So that's my input on that.
Thank you, Belle. I appreciate everything you had to say. All right. You have a wonderful day. 803-0550 is the number. We'll do some more of this. Joe, thank you for knowing the celebrity chef that Belle was talking about, because I'm not that's Mike's department, and Mike's on vacation.
Oh, so Mike would have definitely knew.
Yeah. Right. Good pick-me-up. All right. We'll take a timeout. Sal Capaccio straight ahead. I think he's got a story for us on famous people that he may have shared I don't know about beer. Sal's not a big beer guy, but whatever. We'll get through that and dig into Sal's long piece about the Bills at 30 in the draft and moving up, moving down, staying put, all that. We'll get into with Sal Capaccio when we continue. Again, Mike is on vacation. I am the Bulldog along with Sneaky Joe DiBiase, and this is WGR.